You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about director Emerald Fennell's sophomore effort, Saltburn.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your body?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me tonight, cinematographer Jared Gallen.
How you doing, Brian?
Oh, I am wonderful. I just got done taking a bath. I'm all clean and refreshed.
Did you use that like salt scrub I gave you?
I can't talk about the bath
time.
That's
not the salt he used, okay?
Oh, okay. You do look clean.
We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey. And here we are talking about the Oscar snubbed 2023 Saltburn. What the fuck? For real.
Well, I think that's what most people who saw it were thinking, Brian. So that it was probably just lucky enough just to be nominated.
I didn't get any nominations.
It wasn't nominated.
No nominations?
Yeah, that's
no.
Why I got snubbed.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant that it just didn't win.
I figured it would get at least some sort of production design at a minimum.
Dude, exactly. Every frame a painting.
Yeah, it looked amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah, it should have been up for cinematography as well.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, and costume design. And Barry fucking Keoghan should have gotten a nod for best actor. What the hell? I mean, come on. Paul Giamatti was good and everything, but he's been nominated before. Come on, let's get some fresh blood in here.
Yeah, but did Paul Giamatti fuck a grave?
That was a brilliant scene and completely improvised, by the way.
Well, yeah, it would have to be, right?
Wait, it was improvised because he was originally supposed to just finger the grave, though, right?
Oh, is that what is supposed to happen?
I heard an interview where she said, pull your pants down a little. So she directed it a little bit.
So it was a closed set, and it wasn't in the script. And this is what I heard, is that it was a closed set, it wasn't in the script, and they just kind of let it go and see where it went, and that's where it went.
Seems like a logical, conclusion, confusion, one of those words.
Well, I mean, when you watch it, I guess it makes sense.
Not the first time. When you get to the end, it makes sense, and you watch it the second time. But that's the first time, it is. I think that's what I loved about the whole movie. It's like the movie is constantly recontextualizing the scene before, and it feels like it's going to be a different movie.
Yeah.
It feels like it's going somewhere different, and it kind of does.
Well, kind of. So, but to touch on it, I rewatched this again yesterday, and I have to say it's still a brilliant movie, but I was a little disappointed because there's nothing that will take you back to the first few times that you've seen this movie, especially the first time with all of the horror and shock. Because I actually decided to watch this movie by seeing people posting their blind reactions to it. they would record themselves watching the movie and edit all of their reactions together. And that was when I was like, oh, all right, maybe I will check this out. And you can't go back. You can't go back to that once you know what's going to happen.
There's only one time. There's only one first time seeing Saltburn.
That's true. It did lose a little bit of that shocking luster, the shock value. But I don't know. I enjoyed like just going back and listening to the dialogue again. And it's so funny. It's so well written. It's such a good script.
Yeah, I enjoy the script a lot. Oh, but that was the other thing I was going to say was, I don't know that it was. I feel like each scene makes sense when you are sort of anticipating the ending, which I was, and only because they like as soon as I met that character and I saw him interacting with people, I knew he was trouble and was going to be the villain or lead to someone's downfall at least. And it was only because they drug out that little friendship bit in the first part of the movie that I was like, oh, maybe that's not what's happening. And
with the other nerdy guy, or are you talking about with
the first Felix? Time he interacts with not Felix, but the other one,
the little nerdy guy,
not the nerdy guy. Who's the American?
Farrell or Farrell? What's
not Farrell?
Not the cousin? No, who else?
Yeah, the cousin.
Oh yeah,
his name's not Farrell.
It's not Farrell. It's something like that.
No,
though.
No,
I forget
no,
what
no,
it's
no.
called. Because
it's,
it's
Farley.
Farley. There we
yes.
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I saw him interacting with Farley, but okay, so actually on second and third viewing, I kind of wondered if it wasn't his interactions with Farley that led him to that family and led him to Felix. Like maybe this was all just started because he had that interaction with Farley with the advisor.
Oh, yeah. Well, Farley was a total cunt about using thus.
Thus. It's kind of verbose, isn't it? You don't really use thus in everyday speak. What a cunt, right? God.
Yeah, dude, totally.
He is the worst in the movie.
How dare you judge my writing on its character, not its content.
This is one of the rare movies where I was actually, by the time you get to the end, and you know, we'll put out a spoiler warning here right now, but when you get to the end and you realize that like Oliver is like actually the villain of the piece, I don't think I'd ever have gotten to a movie where I... The character is so terrible, and they are a bad guy, and they're committing murder right in front of your eyes, and you're just kind of like, yeah, you know, not so bad, right? Yeah, I do get it. I understand why this guy would murder these fucking people.
Oh, yeah, you're like, fuck these rich people.
They kind of deserve it.
Kristen, if you listen back to any previous podcast, Brian hates rich people.
Okay.
Like, he has no sympathy for the rich.
Here's my thing. I don't see this. I do not see this as an eat the rich kind of movie. This seems to me very much as, oh, I just want what they have, so I'm going to take it. And not eat the rich, not any sort of like class warfare thing. This is just very much like, I don't feel good about myself and I want to be you, so I'm going to wear your skin.
I think it started more as his infatuation with, I would like, you know, at least with Felix. Like, and once he realizes he can't like be with Felix, he's going to try to like take over Felix's life.
Well, I don't think he wanted to be with Felix. I do think he was obsessed with Felix, which led to some, like the bath scene and some of the other scenes. But I think he was just really, he just wanted to be Felix, which kind of goes with the end and the dancing scene and him just taking over his life.
I mean, we all would do that if we had won that, you know, awesomely.
Hold up. What are we talking about here? Are you talking about his
He's
member?
Gotten everything he ever wanted, bro. He has everything. Yeah. He has all the money. He has the estate. He doesn't even have to wear the clothes anymore. It doesn't matter.
That's the thing. When you get to the end and he's dancing around the house, and the name of the movie is Saltburn, which is the name of the house, right? The name of the estate. It's not Felix or anything like that. And I don't know. Like, yes, it does have this talented Mr. Ripley, like Oliver wants to be Felix, but at the same time, I don't know. Does he just, I don't think he wants to be him. Like, you know, like that's too much hard work because this guy just sits down and observes everyone and doesn't really interact with anybody.
He even says a line. He says, unlike you, I actually know how to work. And then it cuts and shows all of the stuff that he's been doing.
Yeah.
You know, all of his manipulations.
Yeah. But that doesn't show him like he's not being Felix. Like, Felix has friends. Felix has a life. Felix has, even if it's vapid.
Felix is actually a good person. Well, like most of the time, you know, until he gets wrong.
Is he a good person? I think he's faking everything, dude.
Really?
Whole point of it is that none of these people are faking it. They are very upfront with where they're good. They're very upfront with where they're bad. And that is why they do not see Felix or Oliver coming, because they're not used to someone being that deceptive and lying to them.
They share all their secrets with everybody.
They share everything.
Yeah.
They're very upfront with who they are, because they can be, you know, like having to lie and cheat your way through something is not something they have to do, because they just have money. They'll throw money at it. They don't have to work as Oliver says. And I think I think he kind of likes that. I don't think he wants to like impersonate Felix. When I said that he wants to be him, I mean like he wants to be this shining light that everyone loves. He can never do that because he's Oliver. But that's not going to stop him from trying to take it, which is what he did. And I honestly don't think he would have killed Felix if Felix had been like, oh my god, okay, let's talk about it, let's work through this. Like, I don't think he would have killed him at all. He just wanted to be around him.
Yeah, I don't know, the whole Felix death scene's kind of bizarre too, because when you get that flashback, Oliver's throwing up, so he drank out of the poison bottle as well, right?
You see him stick his finger down his throat and he makes himself puke.
I know, but because he drank out of that bottle, right?
No, he's making himself throw up so he could throw up over there.
Oh, see, I thought he was also drinking out of that bottle. I thought we saw a shot of him.
No, and there's also a recurring theme of sticking your finger down your throat. He talks about, like, the first time I touched the back of my mother's throat. Then he touches the back of fucking, like, the sister's throat when she, you know, after he, you know, fingers her while she's fucking menstruating and then rubs, you know, does all that. He puts his hands deep down her throat because she's been making herself puke. And then he makes himself puke.
Yeah, but I thought he was doing that to, like...
There's even vomit on the sink earlier, and then there's he fucking throws his dad's rock into vomit. There's vomit all over this movie.
Yeah, but that's all very true, but I think Brian might have a good point, which is that maybe he was drinking it to kill himself, and then he saw Felix and was like, actually, let me just hand you the bottle, and then he makes himself throw up.
Yeah, so instead of, like, committing suicide he's heartbroken or, like, he's found out. Because, I mean, that all happens after, I don't know, they go to his family home.
He didn't throw up very much.
I mean, do you need to see more vomit, though? Because you just listed all the vomit.
And it was green. It wasn't, like, wine-colored. I don't
was
know.
It green? I didn't know.
It was.
So you're going with that was a stomach bile, so obviously.
Yes.
Obviously there was no alcohol involved. Yeah, all right, maybe.
I mean, it's not clear either way. This is all...
Yeah, the second time I was watching it, I don't know. I didn't think it was as thought out as the first time. Like, the first time I watched the movie, I was like, oh, this guy's a fucking mastermind. He's like the fucking Joker. He was like, you know what? Here's this rich kid. I want his fucking house. You know? But you watch it the second time, it's like, he's not doing research on this guy. He's taking advantage of these moments and these situations that are kind of like present themselves to him, you know, where he's like, oh, I could lie.
Well,
about
he will
this.
Do research because he read the Saltburn book so he could talk about all the like the fucking the dishes and all that. So.
Yeah, but after
he does
he's there.
All of that research so that he can get in good with the family so that if, for example, Felix gets mad at him or someone gets mad at him, all of the other family members will stick up for him. That's why he's doing that.
And I do like the dad is the only one that doesn't like fall for his shit.
Yeah, that's nice actually.
Which is interesting because he's like such a free loving character. He's so excited about the party. He wants to wear his fucking, you know, his knight's fucking armor. And then like when everybody's doing the karaoke, he's just so fucking into it, you know. He seems like he's more the kind of free-loving guy, but
well, perhaps
he sees through his shit.
Maybe he sees through it because he's the one who presumably works and has to deal with other people and knows that people can be deceptive and probably has a lot of life experience, you know, dealing with people like this. Whereas the rest of the family, you know, if they work, it's a very cushy job and they don't probably have to deal with all these power, like, politics that he would have to deal with. That's assuming he works, though. By now he's retired. But that, I mean, that could be it. Because, you know, to be that carefree and that happy is usually a choice. It's not something that you just have past the age of like 4.
Yeah, I don't know. They have a really weird, like, that British polite way of speaking and way of dealing with conflicts that's also kind of ridiculous. Like, even when their son dies, it's like, we're not gonna talk about it. Everyone's gotta sit down, fucking eat your breakfast.
It was like cottage pie, but it was burned. Everybody's a little off their game that
day. I love that. Grieving is so weird. Everyone grieves in wild ways, and I loved having a different version of it at the table for everyone to demonstrate, including the American version.
Dude, yeah. And then when they pull the curtains and the whole room goes red.
Oh my god.
Very, yeah. Very, very cool.
Oh, that's
okay,
brilliant.
That was so funny though when they just like when they were trying to like close the curtains. And they're like, "Sir, the police have gotten lost in the maze." Like, it was so absurd. It was great.
Yeah.
And then you can hear the wheels of the stretcher being go by.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is really good. It is nice. I'm glad Richard E. Grant's kind of making a comeback. It's nice seeing him.
What's he known for?
Oh, well, I know him from Warlock. I think he's also in the
obviously.
Spice Girls movie.
Well, IMDb also says Gosford's Park.
He is in Gosford Park. He was in the last Star Wars movie too. Was it Rise of Skywalker? I guess
so, the rebels. They're here. No, was he that guy?
Yeah, he's one of them. He was like, what is the colonel or something, or the commander or general of one of the Star Destroyers?
Nice. He looks like he could be that. I tell you, who was awesome to see again, and that was Rosamund Pike. Holy shit! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's been having like a fucking Netflix a streaming movie. What was that? What was the other one where she plays the crazy nurse bitch? Or I forget what the name of that was.
I care a lot. Or they're deceiving the old people.
Yeah, who was it? Diane Wiest.
Yeah, yeah. Oh wow, I need to see that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Just like we said when we did Gone Girl, like, man, she plays a stressed out chick really well. Like, she's just got that like look on her face, man. She could just nail it. And with this, like you were saying, with this like proper politeness.
I like how she gets like all breathy when she speaks. She's like, "Oh, you know, it's I'm just so stressed out." I love that, man. She nails that so great.
Actually, also she's a little vapid. Like when the dad is telling the cousin Farley to go home, like to leave and never come back, it cuts to her real quick, and she's like, "What's happening? What's happening right now?" Like she's not really catching on.
Oh, but wasn't that during the death scene? I thought it was shock.
Yeah, that was the dinner.
I guess that
breakfast.
Makes sense,
yeah.
Yeah,
not the dinner. The whatever that long ass Batman breakfast. Bruce
it's
Wayne
lunch.
Table.
It's yeah, it's a luncheon. Yeah.
See, like everything's on the side except for eggs. They cook them for you.
Yeah, but they cook them wrong and shitty.
No, they did. Hold on. He ordered them over easy and then complained that they were runny.
No, yeah. he asked for a fried, right?
He said
fried over easy. And
so
then,
over easy has runny whites as well? Because those whites were still runny. It looked pretty juicy.
Yeah, why would you ask for eggs like that? I don't know.
Well, maybe he just didn't know how eggs are served. Like what that actually means then.
Yeah, I
he doesn't understand the terminology.
I didn't really
grasp
that.
Yeah, that's probably
that.
Where he comes from, eggs just come how they come. Mom always scrambles.
What is the eggy in a basket? Is that what they do there? Or
isn't it like the hole in the toast?
Yeah.
Like toad in a hole? That's what we call it.
That sounds very American, Jared Callen. That's not what we were going for. Did you guys ever see Promising Young Woman?
No.
No, but it's on my list. Oh, I wanted to ask you about it because they were complaining on Twitter or X or whatever about this director. And I can't remember if they were complaining about the directing or the writing. But apparently she writes and directs her own pieces. And they were saying Saltburn has the same issues as Promising Young Woman. But I've only heard really good things about both of them. So I was
The issues of being awesome and fucking great and entertaining. Yeah, I don't know what those sounds like. The kind of issues I want to have. Yeah, I don't get that. I think Miss Fennell here is probably the I think she's my favorite female director of the last 20 years that have like gotten their start. I think she surpassed Greta Gerwig and Nia DaCosta for me.
Yeah, and she also did not get an Oscar nom for this.
Well, to be fair, last year was like maybe the best year ever for female directors, like fucking forever. Like all the like Barbie came out, and then you had Anatomy for a Fall, and that had my favorite fucking scene of the entire year.
You can only pick one woman to nominate. I know.
yeah, it's 10%, right? That's all there is. It's all you can do.
I thought she should have been up for best director over fucking Martin Scorsese. Yeah, I was very disappointed with Killers of the Flower Moon. And that got so much Oscar love. And I was like, what? I don't get that.
I will say that, this film's a lot like, you know, a lot wilder than Killers of the Flower Moon, but it's way more entertaining.
Yeah.
And visually appealing as well. Like, it's weird to say that about a Scorsese film, but man, this movie is just shot really, really well. Even in its like 1:37:1 aspect ratio, which is odd. I guess all movies now are going to be squares. Well, 1:66:1's a little bit wider, and then this one's like, you know, this was like, this aspect ratio is what the fucking like talkies were done in, like the original like Hollywood pictures.
Yeah. Well, even with the silence were done in too.
Yeah.
That's how old it is. Yeah, I was trying to find like what was the rationale behind that, and the only thing I was
close-ups
able to find was the director was talking about how they showed up at the house and they would just take pictures, still pictures from every fucking angle of the house to see what looked best and everything, and they kept returning to the 4:3 aspect ratio. They thought that looked the best, made the frame narrower and taller.
I heard her in an interview say that this aspect ratio lends to close up better because you get it's all face.
Oh, I can see that too. Yeah.
So you're not, even though you're in this magnificent space, like, you know, you're forced to look just at the face.
That makes sense.
There's many times where it's just face. Like, think of like the in the middle of the karaoke scene where like fucking Ollie and Farley are like laying on the couch with their faces next to each other. And he's like, Farley, why did you tell Felix about me? And yeah, man, it's just such clever framings. This whole movie is full of fucking badass frames, like, and reflections and fucking like all of this like symmetry.
Yeah, I like the reflections. I think my favorite was the window to his apartment at Oxford.
And where you see all of his different like personalities.
Yeah, cuz it's got the basically. Yeah, it's got the windows with the like the slits or the, I don't know, whatever.
So cool. Yeah.
Cuts on them. Yeah. That is neat.
The reflection in the table is really fucking cool.
Yeah.
But the one that sticks out to me is like when they're doing their like hangout. It's like, I think it's during the montage where he's like, if you come out into the meadow, there's no trunks in the meadow or whatever. And he's, you know, it's right before that. Like he's like laying beside this like lake or whatever. And there's this building in the background, and the building is reflected into the water, and they've made this like symmetrical shot, but just in the top left of the corner of the frame, like he's laying there smoking a cigarette upside down in the shot. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, I think they actually they took that shot and actually made a poster of it.
It needs to be, because it's a perfect shot. All the skies are perfectly exposed. Everything and everything feels so natural, mostly, you know, except for the things where they feel like they needed. Because a lot of the stuff, I'm like, are they lighting this at all? How are they getting this exposure? I know it's shot on film, so, but still, it just looks incredible.
Another thing that really adds to all of this is the level of detail that they put into it. For example, there's like a chandelier where they pull back and the chandelier's in the foreground and you see them pass through the room. And you're watching them pass through the room, but if you look at the chandelier, there's like cobwebs on it. The level of detail that they went to show that like people live here, but also it's not as clean and pristine and this isn't what you think, played out perfectly, I think.
Yeah, there was like flypaper hung up in places.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was trying to remember. There was something else hanging, but I couldn't remember what it was.
I just love the like in that scene. I love the butler. He's such a badass. Like he's like one of these guys who's born to buttle. You know, his whole life is running this house.
Oh, Duncan, or what was that his name? Duncan?
No, that's his name, Duncan. Yeah, and he's got the perfect fucking butler name. Lots of people get lost in Saltburn.
Oh, brother.
He's the only person left after Oliver kills everyone else.
Was he in a scene where he's dancing naked?
No.
Did we see any help?
No, but we saw him right. The Duncan was standing outside, I think, right before he murders Elspeth. That's the last time we see Duncan. So maybe he was letting him go and Duncan was leaving, but did not get that vibe necessarily.
So he could get away with all these other murders, which I kind of halfway understand them being quote unquote accidents. But if you pull the fucking feeding if you pull the fucking tube, the intubation tube out of this woman, and it's 2 foot down into her chest, and you unhook all this shit, and then they're like, he's like, I don't know what happened. She just quit breathing.
Well, I assumed
that's the one that would
put it back in, right?
That's you have the to one that intubate would really somebody? Be investigated, I think.
Yeah, you can't fucking put that back like so easily.
Well, she would be dead. Why not? What is she going to do, fight you? She's fucking dead.
I don't think he had to pull the tube either. He could have just disconnected it. But this
Jared,
is something.
It looks amazing. Oh
it
my
was.
God,
I rewound it like 3 times because I was like, holy shit, that looked amazing. Like, we just pulled this massive tube out of her chest. Like, how'd they do that? It looks so good.
So great. And then, like, when she's like, just, like I don't even know if she's dead or just slowly dying. But when he's like, oh, I'm going to hug you now. I'm going to take your arms and.
He's like throwing her arms over his shoulders.
We're hugging. Yeah, this is great. We're like real people. I can't wait for you to
I
die.
I hated you all. Now hug me. He's blowing smoke in her face.
No, like, that's the thing is, like, I know he says he hates. That's why I don't think it's an Eat the Rich movie, because I know he says he hates them, but he's also obsessed with, like, he's obsessed with them. So it's a love-hate thing going on. He's not.
There's way too much stuff with class. I don't know if Eat the Rich, but class is so brought up so much.
He brings it up. He brings it up, and he creates this fantasy of I'm a poor little child of an alcoholic and a dead father. Like,
but it's creepy. Like when he breaks the mirror, like after the party, and how it's just replaced. Come on, like Kristen, that is
That's
so
nice.
Weird.
Can I get some of that for my house? No,
yeah, but like
that is so
that
badass.
Happened while he was asleep. It's just like his clothes, right? Like all of his stuff, like everything's been, his whole bag has been gone through. You know, everything is up. It's just, these butlers and, it's all class. It's weird and creepy.
But it's really only weird and creepy, and it makes him especially nervous because he has something to hide, because he is the one who is weird and creepy, and I don't know that makes them weird and creepy because they just have different customs.
I do like when they unhinge him, because when, think about, like, he moves in and he shows up early, which he instantly pisses off all the help, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's kind of like awkwardly moving in, and then he goes in and he's walking to the room and he can hear everybody talking about him, mm-hmm. right? And he's like, holy shit. And when he walks in and he goes through all of that fucking like awkward shit where everybody knows more about you in the room than, you know, and all that. And then he goes back into his room afterwards, and then fucking Felix comes in and he's like, hey man, I'm sorry about all that. That was fucking weird. He never looks at him in the eye in that scene, back in the room.
Felix?
Everything's played like off. And like Felix is always in the background because he's like, holy shit. Like, you know, I like to see that he's like caught off guard at times.
Do you think he's really caught cool. off guard? If it was me and I was like a psychopath, I would be so excited. I'd be like, yes, they bought my story. I think that's, if he's nervous about anything, it's like, are they going to believe this? Did I take it too far? Because he told them some wild stories.
But there's a scene in the hallway when they get back after going, which is this amazing fucking shot in the car, leaving fucking like Ollie's family, like his real family. And then this crazy wide shot in the car. And then it cuts there. They're in a hallway. And he's like, look, man, after the fucking party, you need to go. You need to get the fuck out of here. He has that moment. And then it cuts to him in his room and he's fucking like sobbing. Like that caught him off guard. Like that whole fucking day. Like he's just fucking like losing his shit.
He's sobbing because he's been found out. Like this whole thing is not like, oh no, my friends, you know, don't like me anymore. My friends hurt my feelings. Like, he is wildly insecure, but he's also like trying to establish himself, and he's just so into these people that he he's upset that they've kicked him out, not that anything is happening. He has no shame, no remorse. He would do it all again if he could think of a better lie to tell them. In that moment, he would spin it. I'm sure that I actually wanted Felix to talk to him, because I'd be like, I would love to hear his explanation. Like, what new lie has he come up with that he now thinks this is okay? Because in his head, I'm sure he thinks it's okay. Like, that's what I thought was so amazing about this movie, is how completely, like, just disconnected from the real world he is. Like, he's not a normal person. He does not have the normal range of human emotions.
And I love that they don't give you a reason why.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, you know,
sob story. Yeah.
Yeah. Or think about the fucking, like, the Halloween remakes. Like, the reason that Michael Myers is the way he is because he fucking grew up in a trailer park.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a shitty fucking family. But this kid has a fucking perfect family.
Mm-hmm. No, like, he has a bunch of sisters, dude. They drove him crazy.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it was. You know, but, you know, like, so they don't lean on any of that, and they don't give you any, like, pretense on any of that stuff. He's just a fucked up person.
I think that's great, because, yes, do you really need a reason? First of all, do you need a reason to be fucked up? No. And second of all, do you need a reason to be like, hey, stop acting like this? Like, no. Like, I think so much of society now is like, oh, well, I know he or she did this really horrible, horrible thing, but this happened to them, so it's okay that they're treating everyone like this. No, it's not. You don't need a reason. Stop doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a hard time, like, reading some of this stuff, because, like, the friend that he meets at Oxford, the guy that's good at maths, what are they saying with that? Is, like, because these two people are outsiders and not part of the rich community, they are inherently socially awkward because they don't interact with people?
Oh, I assumed, I mean, I guess you could come to that.
Are geniuses just crazy?
I assumed it was something different. I assumed because, and I don't know the demographics here, but the way it's presented is that Oxford is a school for the very wealthy and also the very smart. So you're in one of the two camps, and maybe if they overlap, great. But, like, so if you're not the very wealthy and you don't know all these people and you haven't gone to prep school with them for years, or boarding school, or wherever they go, then you fall into the smart category. And so it's Oliver going, oh, so this is my choice. I either have to hang out with this nerdy math guy, or I can put this entire crazy plot into effect and hang out with the rich kids.
Yeah. I just want to know what the filmmaker is saying by including that, though.
Yeah, I just figured it was like, those are my two options.
Well, she grew up like Felix.
Who grew up like Felix?
The director. Like, she grew up, like, super wealthy. And, like, apparently, in an interview I was listening to, apparently, like, Elton John was a family friend.
I actually thought this was very sympathetic to the rich, and I know a lot of people think this is, like, class warfare and all of that, but I honestly didn't get this at all.
Oh, I did not think it was sympathetic to the rich. I thought it makes rich people look like they're just vapid fucking dumbasses that haven't earned shit in their life. Oh my god.
Well,
old bunny.
Fair. But it also makes the working class look really horrible too.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Guy got that giant house.
Yeah.
It looked too terrible.
Because the only times that the rich people, I thought, were like, you know, like really, like, awful people were like the his little girlfriend that he hooks up with that he's not dating. She was not a great character.
What? Who Felix is hooking up with?
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
Little pixie girl.
Oh, what was her name? Something like India or Indigo or some shit like that.
Her name was India.
Well, was it India? All right, there we go. Yeah, some shit like that.
Yeah, she was not a good person. But, like, I thought, like, Felix, for the most part, like, he had some moments, of course, but for the most part, he's, like, fine.
Well, even, like, you know, at the bar scene when Farley's, like, you know, he's like, you know, Ollie, it's your turn to fucking, you know, don't, you can't skip out on the round. And he's, like, you know, making fun of him and shit. And then, you know,
oh, yeah.
Felix stands up for him there. And then even, like, the Felix would even reach out to Oliver's family and see, you know, he's like, dude, you know, it's your birthday, man. You need to go see your fucking mom. You need to start making amends, you know?
Yeah, honestly, the only time...
He does care.
The only time I really questioned Felix's, I guess, moral integrity, which is funny in this movie, but it was when he's threatening Farley and he's like, you know, I know we've always helped you, but maybe we've done too much. Maybe we've done enough.
That was some bratty rich shit.
Yeah, that was the only time where I was like, what the fuck is happening? Guys, this is a little out of character.
I totally disagree. I think their first interaction, you see what a brat fucking asshole Felix is. Because, like, what does Felix do? He's like, okay, well, let's swap bikes. You're going to bring mine back, right? You're going to carry it back for me after you're giving me the bike?
What was he supposed to do with it, man? Cool. Just leave it there?
It's his fucking bike. He's rich. He can fucking take care of it. You're going to make the guy that is giving you your bike? You're going to make them take your bike?
What, am I supposed to ride two bikes, Brian? What the fuck?
I think it's because he is rich. No, hold on. I think it's because he is rich that he expects that. We just talked about, like, the mirrors replace the clothes. Like, everything is done for him. He has no concept that he's imposing on someone else. So, yeah, you're right. He is bratty there. But at the same time,
I don't know that that's,
like, a character flaw. Okay. But also, that is the exact scene, though, that I was like, Oliver's a psychopath. I think that sets up the whole movie perfectly.
You thought he was a psychopath just because of that scene?
Yeah.
Oh.
What cued you there?
Man, I never thought he was a psychopath there.
It's because of the way he acts, it's his insecurity. It's the way he's like...
Well, he's attracted to him. They're trying to show that he's shy around him.
He's not shy. He's insecure. There's a huge, huge difference. And... leading up to that point, all of his interactions, he's so wildly defensive. And when you couple that with insecure, and he's bold enough to go talk to him, to offer to do stuff for him, all of that says that he is a crazy person. To me, those are all giant red flags. All of those things together, at least, tell me that he is the kind of person who will try to take someone down because they have what he wants. And look, I was right.
Yeah.
You know, we're not all perfect, Kristen. You know? Some of us have psychopathic flaws, all right? We're people, too!
Yeah, but can you be people without, like, trying to kill other people? Like, that's all I'm asking.
You know, just don't reject psychopaths, okay? And then they won't have a reason to poison you in your maze.
Right. Like, that's the point. That's what I'm saying.
Your shit in maze. Oh, my gosh. I was thinking about The Shining every time I saw that maze. Every single fucking time.
Oh, it
really?
Yeah. 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 Because they even have the little diagram miniatures, it's so
I think if you have a labyrinth in your backyard, then you need to.
You need to have a room that has a window that overlooks it.
Yeah. So you can say, ooh, obviously. Like, you want to play my labyrinth like toy?
That's the people that do really get lost. You can talk to them in a walkie-talkie and be like, no, go left. Keep going. No.
Oh, my God. You could have like speakers in the garden in case they get lost.
That would be fucking sick.
That is the most rich person.
You're going the wrong way.
Look, I'm thinking way too poor. Like walkie talkies. Wait, you got to use your hands for that. Fucking poor people. Never think.
It's like a baby's toy.
It's okay. You're not there quite, Brian. You're working on it. No, you could have them hidden in the. Oh my god, I think that'd be so cool for parties too. Like you just pipe the music through and have it hidden in the hedges.
Then you got to fight the Minotaur in the middle.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even gotten to all the mythological references in this.
Oh, well, hold that thought. Let's play the trailer and we'll come back and talk mythology. We're going to play the trailer for what is this? For Saltburn. We'll be right back.
What is this?
I've forgotten already.
Oh, nice tux.
Thank you.
Wow. It's a rental, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Where are we going, Felix?
You think you'll go home?
Honestly? Home doesn't mean the same for me as it does for you, Felix.
Well, why don't you come home with me? Come to Saltburn.
Why Felix likes you so much. You're so real.
Oliver, I have a complete and utter horror of ugliness ever since I was very young. I don't know why.
Maybe because you're a terrible person.
Lots of people get lost in Saltburn.
This place is not for you.
I can honestly say that these last few months have been the happiest of my life.
Anything else I should know about?
No, no, just be yourself. They'll love you. It's relaxed, I promise.
All right, we're back. That was a trailer for Emerald Fennell's Saltburn. What a good trailer. Didn't give shit away.
It looks great. Did you guys notice in the trailer, I don't remember if this was in the movie, but he says that he took the earlier train when he arrives at Saltburn, and that's why he's early. But in the trailer, he's dropped off by a car.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, in the movie, he takes a car, too, because he's got that...
Did he take a car?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Because it's that... before you even see the house, you see his close-up just reacting to it.
Oh, that's right. He's in a car. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay.
That shot
is I didn't catch that.
The shot is beautiful.
Yeah, but it's not a taxi. I was wondering about that as well, because like, when you first watch it, you're like, oh, well, the servants picked him up, obviously, and then they call that out, and it's like, oh.
He got an Uber.
Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah.
Well, no, but then why lie and say that you took the train?
Well, I think he did take the train, right? But then he's taking it from the, he's taking a car from
Don't make excuses for him. This is how it happens.
He took the train to the city that Saltburn's in.
He took the train from Oxford to wherever this place is, somewhere south of Liverpool, because Liverpool's in the north.
Listen, Kristen, home doesn't mean the same for me as it does for you, okay?
Yeah, because he has no, like, emotions at all. So, no, home doesn't mean the same thing.
No, he's got emotions. He knows about love, right? He was crying. Did you see those tears in that trailer? There was sort
of
tears.
Was that from love or because of, oh no, I've lost my toy? I mean, I think it's actually really funny. Everything that everyone says to him, like, you know, like when Venetia says, oh, you're just one of his toys. Like, it's all of it can be flipped. Like, he sees them as toys. Like, every single thing when she says, oh, you're so real and that's why he likes you. Like, it can all be flipped back around. That's why he likes them.
You know, I do like his, I wrote this down. I thought this quote was great. It's when he says, unlike you, I actually know how to work. You are spoiled dogs, sleeping belly up, no natural predators. Well, almost. Fucking brilliant.
It's a good line.
It is great. And I think that is how he sees these people. It's just like, you know, it's like... You're so well off. You're blind to what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna fucking take it all. I just kind of love that. Even though he's, you know, a murderer and some other things, maybe a psychopath. You know, like details, Kristen. Details.
He might not be a psychopath, but there's something very wrong with him.
Kristen, did you see the size of this man's cock? I mean, come on, all right? Who cares what he's like, right?
Excuse me, you're correct, Ryan.
Plot twist.
Twist indeed.
That's really the only thing you remember at the end of the movie.
Just like, damn, how much did he get paid? Ugh, should have been paid per inch.
He is murdering that dance floor.
It's gonna burn that house right down to the goddamn ground. Yeah, that is such a great ending. God,
I like that he swam down and got everyone's stone.
Oh, he didn't do that. He got the servants to do that, Jared.
I don't know. That's a little hardcore. Like, go find me the stones. Bring me the stones.
I love it when they're throwing it into, like, the butler is holding both umbrellas up, you know, like, over the mom and dad and then the daughter. And you see Ollie on the other side just staring at him. Staring at him, and the next time,
like, they can't see him, like, they're looking right at him, you know, like, they're
but he's not a member of the family, so he can't be in there. But the next time when they throw her pebble in, he's standing there. I love it.
No, hold on, because like that's the thing, is like, you that's the implication, right? Is you're not a member of the family, you're not one of us, you need to be over there. But knowing what we know about him, he probably stood over there on purpose so they would feel bad for him. No, because
that's true. No, yeah, I totally believe that. Absolutely.
No, I don't believe for a second anything that he does. I don't think he's any time that he is ostracized, it is of his own making, with the exception of when Farley mistreats him. But Farley is also not one of the members of this family. He is also a member of the working class who is fighting his way into this family. I know he's technically like blood related, but not really. Like, he's not really one of them.
Well, he was, but you know, his mom apparently.
Well, he's different. Sure.
His parents.
Well, what was the story with his mom? I don't remember it.
I think it's implied that the mom ran off and married a black dude, and the family, yeah, was like, wait a minute, you married a black American? How dare you? That's kind of how it was like implied. Because even when Farley is like, he's asking Felix for money. What does Farley say? What does he say for the butlers? I forget what he calls them.
Oh, they're the footmen.
Yeah,
he's like.
Do you know the footman's name?
Yeah,
he's like, no.
I've never known the footman's name. A footman's a really high like position.
But he knows Duncan's name because we saw that the minute he walked into the house.
Well, everybody knows the butler's name. He runs the house.
Yeah, because he's also the white
present.
Help.
Well, but he's also like fully present. I don't know where the footmen are. Did we meet the footmen at any point?
We saw them a lot of times, and every time we ever see a footman, they're always giving like dirty glances at Ollie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And when he finally gets kicked out of the house, and the dad like pays him off, I love that he leaves through the servant entrance.
Where they're all there, and they're all like excited that he's leaving. Yeah, they're like clapping and shit.
That is great.
I wonder how much money Sir James gave him.
It had to be a lot, right? Because he got the new haircut.
It had to be a lot. Well, it had to be a lot just because it seemed like he wasn't going anywhere. And I was like, you might need to forcibly remove this man from your house.
It's gonna take $100 million there, Mr. Catton.
Wow, I don't know if he got that much. He definitely got $1 million though. Like, yes.
Pounds, Brian. Million pounds.
Oh,
so more than
$1 million.
So it's more than $1 million. Actually, right now it's not.
Really?
For once in the world, it's not. Let's see what the pound is to the dollar.
The dollar's stronger than the pound right now?
Oh, it's gone back up. There for a while, it did get down there. Right now, 1 pound is... actually, yes, we are. 1 pound is 1.28. So wow. We're 28 cents over them right now.
Wow.
When I went to England in 2009, it was like $1.78.
Yeah.
To make a pound.
I remember it being almost $2 at one point.
Yeah, it was damn close.
Wonder how strong the euro is now.
Oh, this euro is still stronger than the dollar.
It is.
But oh. Not by much. It's pretty close.
The euro equals 1.9.
Yeah, 109. So not 1.9, 1.09.
09. Yes, there we go.
Yeah, so it's pretty close.
What's the opposite of Brexit? Brinch rinse something?
Breakfast? Breakfast?
Let's go get that euro. Fuck that pound. Well, since we are talking money here, this movie, budget, very, very hard to pin down. I saw it was anywhere from 10 to 38, but Variety reported that Amazon spent $75 million on this movie.
Wow.
Now,
meaning...
Did they purchase it after a film festival?
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? Because it was picked up by MGM.
I think it's weird that it says, it has so many names on the damn poster and everything, but there's also that Amazon in there, which is really weird.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That MGM Amazon company logo still fucking flips me out. It's weird. I can't.
And the lion looks way too high def. They've done something to the lion, and I don't like it. He's animated now, and I don't like it.
You know, I don't have a problem with it. It could just be like I like the gold border better now, because it's shiny. It's like really shiny.
You're looking at the wrong thing. Next time, look at the lion.
You know, it's a big cat that roars.
The original lion was shot at the Memphis Zoo, sir. You know, come on, man.
Wait, was it?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You learn something new every day.
You can see an image of it being shot, but the camera is way too close. It seems like, wow. And the guy's just like very nonchalantly sitting there at a table next to the camera. And you're just like, this seems kind of weird.
I, when
you guys ever been to the Mirage Hotel?
But when the lions retire from the Memphis Zoo, I knew the lady who kept them. And so you could go like in her backyard And it was crazy because you could literally be like that. You could be like nose to nose with the lions if you really wanted to be, because there were bars separating them. But like, those bars aren't going to do that much.
Hell no. I remember when we were kids, the zoo still had the bars.
Oh, yeah. Well, but like the zoo kind of keeps you away, like in her backyard, like you're there, like you're there.
Wait, she actually has the lions in her backyard?
They're retired, yeah.
Oh.
Retired to someone's backyard. If you check the chat, I just sent you the photo from the Memphis Zoo. So it's just a little lackadaisical for me.
It's a good looking lion, though, you know? Good looking lion.
It's good to be the king.
Now you're making me want to go down like an MGM logo fucking rabbit hole, Jared. God damn it.
There's
this
a really
is
cool MGM
podcasting.
Building in downtown Memphis that still has the logo up there. I'd like to buy that building one day.
Wait, what?
Into a move. Yeah. Memphis was the distribution hub for films during the early 1900s. And this was like right in the middle of the country. So every major studio has a building here. There's a Paramount studio. There's an RKO building. There's a fucking MGM building. All down in Film Row.
And they actually have the logos on it?
Yeah, they're still on the buildings.
Huh.
I'll show you next time we go out for a beer.
Sounds like a nerd date.
I'm down. Speaking of nerdy shit, you know the scene where he like drinks the dude's cum? Like, how did they get the camera down into the fucking tub like that?
How?
That was a beautiful shot, though.
How was that nerdy? By the way. Just wanted to, you know... Semen bathwater.
Wait, nerds, are you saying you don't that do that, time. Brian? Is that not something?
Brian's like, oh, no, activity? Nothing goes to waste.
I mean, it was a little amateur hour that he didn't immediately tongue the drain right away. That's what you have to
no,
do.
No, he did, though. He worked his way down to it. And then you're like, you know, you can't just go right for the hole.
You got to go right
for
the
like,
hole,
work your
man.
Way up to the hole. You got to go around the hole.
No, no.
You got to like.
Look, this is not fellatio, bro. Like, you got to go right for the hole in the drain. Otherwise, the bathwater is going to go out. You got to plunge it up.
You
so got to
get in there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an
right?
older
Kristen
tub,
understands.
Man. It drains slowly.
No, I actually saw a very
water's
similar.
Water's more viscous.
Okay, but I have a genuine question here because I was watching a TV show and they did something very similar in it. And
oh, really?
They did it like a year before, so it was not a parody of this. And so is this a thing that people do? Like maybe this is nerdy.
Well, you've never heard that I want to, you so fine, I want to drink your bath water. I'm sure you have heard that, Christy. But I've never heard that personally.
Wait, you've never heard it? Or nobody's ever said it to you, Jared? Those are totally different things now.
Neither one.
No, I've heard that. Never thought I'd see it in a movie, though. Okay, so this has been done before in a film?
No, it was in a TV show, yeah.
Oh.
Not done as Saltburn did it so much better. Obviously, the visuals in Saltburn were so much better. But yes, I was in a TV show that I was watching. And she drank the bathwater.
A girl too.
It was a late. There was a lady. A lady on lady.
Why does that make it worse?
Nice.
I don't know why that makes it worse.
Does it?
It does.
No, it doesn't, man. Because you know, you just the thought of semen floating in water.
Yeah, no, it makes it worse. It seems like a guy would do that, and a girl like that would be. I don't know. It just seems like that.
Of course,
would,
girls are like little perfect. Yeah,
right. Yeah, it seems like it would be too gross.
Well, you know, men are not as wet. They're a lot drier. Apparently,
I mean, that's why I'm not a lesbian.
Well, I mean,
such a weird line.
Yeah, it's so weird.
men are dry.
Well, depends. It depends.
But so leading into how women, I guess, are not as dry, did we want to talk about the vampire scene?
I don't know. Do we want to talk about that?
Do we want to talk about the sex in this movie? Let's start there because I feel like at the end of the last podcast, I said come next week for more weird sex talk. And so,
okay, all
there's
right.
a lot of weird sex in this movie.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say weird, more that it's not normally seen on screen. Should we say that?
No, look, now, it's super gross. Menstruating fellatio is probably one of the nastiest things ever.
But growing up, we all know that was called Red Wings, and we've heard of people that have done it. And I'm not saying that I've ever done it, but like never heard of somebody actually drinking someone's cummy bathwater.
Wait, did you just say Red Wings?
You never heard of this, Brian? It's called getting your Red Wings.
Your
I've
guy.
Not heard of
no,
that.
I
oh, okay. Well, never mind. I guess I'm teaching something to everyone today.
God, yeah. Fucking welcome to class, children.
Everybody, take your seat.
Fucking Red
Go
Wings?
Ahead and turn
Wait,
to page
what?
page 69. And we're today we're going to be discussing different types of fellatio.
Why is this like a flight school thing? Why do you got to earn your wings? Is that where it comes from?
That's where the nerdy part comes in, right?
Wings, you know. Kotex has wings.
Oh, I assume it was no. like that. Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm just improvising, as it were. I must go to the Urban Dictionary and type in red wings. One second.
Red Bull gives you wings.
Does Urban Dictionary have like a thesaurus and like it tells you all the like different, like now that you know.
Red wings, when you eat a girl out when she's having her period. Also known as a bloody tampon.
That one makes a lot more sense.
It doesn't. Whoa, no, that's disgusting.
I mean, no, that, you know, that's disgusting. But like, I can put that together. Red wings. I don't know.
I don't know if some guy came up to me and asked about like a bloody tampon. I would not assume he was referring to a sex act.
It's believed to be involving oral sex, it actually refers to the bloody smears on the front of the thighs and growing after having sex with a woman on her period.
That makes
a
lot more sense.
That's what red wings. Okay.
So
that,
you actually have
sense,
red wings.
Yeah.
Beyond the labia, on the thighs.
Man, this is. I like how technical you just got right there, Cher. I appreciate that.
Well, your mom does listen to this podcast. I try to be a little bit thorough and, you know, clinical.
Oh, they watch the movie, so you know.
You know, Brian, I really thought this was really enjoyable.
Oh yeah, the minute I saw it, I was like, "Mom, Dad, you gotta watch Saw Print. It's great. It's great. You're gonna love it. It's like you think it's gay Fatal Attraction, but hold on, it's not."
No, see, because I like... hold on, because that's why I watched it, because like the children on TikTok were filming their parents' reactions to it and putting it on there, and I was like, I need to watch this. I would not watch it with my parents, but, you know.
See, I have a different relationship with my parents. My mom was like, the neighbor was telling me I should watch this movie called Poor Things, and but, you know, I don't know. It's like the closest thing to porn I've ever seen. I was like, holy shit.
Woman, don't leave your house, and for God's sakes, don't get on the internet. Poor, poor thing indeed.
Hey man, this what's our next fucked up movie?
I know, maybe we should rename this month.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, but so hold on. So let's go through all of the sex scenes in this. There is the bathwater scene, and we're calling that a sex scene. Was that the first one?
Yeah,
well, it was masturbation. He's peeping on him.
I forgot about the peeping part. Which makes it so much creepier, honestly.
Especially when Felix locks the door after they've had their fight, because he knows. So that's like, you know, there's all...
Okay, I was wondering, it's like, did he know that he was watching and...
Fuck yeah, he knew.
Yeah, because they even have that scene afterwards, like, where he licks the bathwater, right before he licks the bathwater up, and they're, like, brushing their teeth together, and he's like, all right, good night, and he does the...
Yes.
You're right? And then as soon as he leaves, that's when he's like, oh, I'm gonna go drink that fucking bathwater, bro.
Wait. Okay, hold on. I have an idea. So maybe Felix knows. Okay, so you know we've already discussed how quickly things get cleaned and changed here. So maybe one of the servants came in to clean up after him and saw Felix doing this and reported it back to Elspeth because they told her everything. Who told Felix and probably the whole house. I love that. That would be. This has made it into the movie in my head.
Kristen's like, I'm going to make this movie better.
Yeah, because like that would like wouldn't that be a crazy way to find something out?
Yeah. No. You're right.
Yeah. No, because what he's like, oh, I left my towel in there. Let me go back in. Like, how else would he know that he's drinking the bathwater? I think someone saw it and told, and the whole house.
Oh, see, I don't think he knew that he drank the bathwater. I think he was just watching. Yeah, he was peeping. Watching. Yeah, jerk off. Yeah.
Okay, and then the second sex scene was the vampire sex scene.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which was well done. We don't usually see blood smeared on people's faces. Although I have seen that happen in a movie before. So, but it was not a sex scene. It was.
It's so wild that she just goes with it. You know, just like starts rubbing the blood in her mouth, and she's just like, okay.
Oh no, sure. She was into it, man. Like when she.
What else is she gonna do? I mean, come on.
She was looking at him, and she was like, "You're gonna put that in your mouth? I don't know. That's kind of gross." And he's like, "No, put it in your mouth now."
No, because he's like,
here, you taste. It's good.
He's like,
the fact that he's turned on. No, but the fact that he's turned on by it is probably why she's like, well, let's just fucking go. Yeah, I am hot. Yeah, okay, you can enjoy my body at all times of the month. Like, that's hot. Like, great. Let's do it. Mm. And smear it on the face. Sure, why not? Hands down the throat. Why not? And also, what did you think of that when he's like, listen, you're not going to throw up anymore?
Oh, I loved that. But I actually see.
Do you, but,
that's another okay, one yeah, of those moments, right? Right. Where you're like recontextualizing things as it's going. Because at that moment, like after that scene where like, you know, the vampire bloody fellatio.
I'm a vampire.
Right. I thought I thought he was going to start controlling.
It's not fellatio, right? Like you guys are incorrectly using that word, right?
What?
Isn't it cunnilingus? It's not fellatio.
It's cunnilingus.
Cunnilingus,
yes.
Yeah, okay, fellatio, okay. Whatever.
All right. You know. All right. Sorry. Keep going.
Sorry. Oral sex. All right. God damn. Fucking sex police over here. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Look. Use the right words, looking Brian. Up red wings and bloody tampon. I get to correct your scientific words. Okay.
Good apparently, I didn't know any of this. I am a good, like, little innocent boy over here.
It's bloody fucking cunnilingus.
Okay, I'm sorry, Brian.
Why did that say worse? It sounds worse.
Brian, I want to hear what you had to say. I'm
didn't
sorry.
Make it better. But that's a scene that that whole scene recontextualizes because like, you think like he is going to start controlling her, you mm-hmm. know, and he's going to start controlling the family members, and then right after that, like you know, like he pushes her over. The what is it like a
the
pastry
croissant.
Or yeah croissant right
croissant.
He's like bitch you gonna eat that croissant now because you're not and she does she eats it and then she immediately gets up to go fucking vomit
yep
and he like the next shot is even brilliant after that because like you see him and like you're like oh he's looking for her and no he's looking for Felix. It's just constantly recontextualizing everything you see.
Okay, so hold on, because Venetia is actually the one who is not controlled by him at all in the film, and she's the one who sees him and calls him out in the end, and it's like, I can, you know, she's like, I know what you are, and that's why he kills her, because she
doesn't
has...
kill her.
Okay, that's why, were you suggesting that she actually committed suicide?
No, she did mm-hmm. commit suicide. You see him, like, he just places
sets her up. He sets her up, yeah. And she does it.
He puts the razor blades on the side of the tub.
I don't buy that for a second. Unless I see her actually doing it. I do not buy that for a second.
I think she had a weird relationship with her brother. And then,
well, yes,
like,
yes.
And so, like, she's super fucked up about all of that.
I think that it was a bit incestuous at times.
Yeah.
Which I think is also why Felix got so mad when he's like, what are you doing with her? She's mine.
Yeah.
You can't have her.
Mm, yeah, Felix was very, I don't know. He seemed like he would have sex with anything.
Okay, yeah. So did Oliver also, so. Okay, the next sex scene.
He would, but like, see, I think like all of Oliver's sex scenes... are
all
to
manipulative.
Yeah, to get him something, right? Like he's getting something out of it. Which I guess the other sex scene is the really bizarre fucking silhouetted hand job.
Yeah.
Which I was totally okay with and it was fine until he spits like fucking in his hand, man. And oh my God.
I thought that was great. Was it just a hand job or was there more going on there? Because I thought there was more going on there.
Was he lubing up the butthole there?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
No,
that's the Brokeback Mountain.
That's what I thought was happening.
Why can't I quit you?
Okay, Brian's you know, too innocent for this conversation. We've already decided that.
Well, the sound effects, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I guess that could be he's jamming a finger up the butt. Yeah.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could be that. Well, I mean, you would need spit for either one. So I'm just saying. Lube's important.
But yeah, also about control.
Yeah,
that whole scene.
But I guess that's what's great about the whole movie. Like they show you things, but they don't show you enough.
Yeah, there's a lot left up to your imagination.
Yeah,
which
also
is great.
Makes
they do
it
things
worse.
In single takes, which is really cool. Like think about the tub thing. There's no coverage there. Like we cut in, we're just on a close up of his face in the drain. You know, it just cuts into the tub. We have that moment. You don't see him crawling in or anything. They just let it live in these moments. Same thing with the grave. It's just fucking like, you know, 3 minute long, single take.
That's great. I love the grave scene.
Well, I heard her talk about that shot and why it's so long that you need to know when to cut out away from something. Because if you cut too early out of that scene, then it becomes laughable. So we need to let it like resonate. And then also
that resonated a lot.
No, seriously. And then even having the music go away.
Oh, like, that was great.
We have the hymn end. And then like it's just the sound of crying and you know, fucking the earth.
I think it's so great too, because when he's crying, you're like, oh, maybe I'm too harsh on him. Like, maybe you should have some sympathy. He's clearly lost a friend. And then it just keeps going and you're like, no, never mind.
Whatever. I think I would be best friends with Ollie. We could move in. Damn. I'd be a great roommate at Saltburn. I'm telling you. I would take the blue room. You'd never see me. It'd be fine.
As long as you never cross paths, it's fine.
Yeah. Let me tell you what. The birthday parties, they're going to be spectacular.
The parties? I mean, not even the parties. Even just chilling, like, in their little pond thing. Like, that'd be great.
I love that nobody knows his fucking name when they're singing him happy birthday.
I love that.
I couldn't. Okay, so that was the one scene where I was like, oh, they would have tried. It would have been like a mumble. It would have been a you know, like, they wouldn't have just all gone silent.
You know, I had a problem with it the first time I was watching it. And then you get later, like when the sun is like dead and like Rosamund Pike actually says something like, you know, like, oh, how was the cake? Did you try the cake? I didn't get to eat the cake. Or, you know, and like you go back and you look at that scene when they're singing happy birthday. None of the family members are there.
Nope.
It's just Why would they be?
It's just a bunch of random strangers. So
yeah.
I kind of like that. You know, it does validate that. They probably don't know his name.
Well, yeah. I didn't think that they would know his name. I just thought they would have put in more of an effort.
Put in more of an effort. These people don't give a fuck. No one read the cake.
Yeah.
No one read
the cake.
Well,
these are all, because these are also, they're all hanging on to the family. They're all there because it's Saltburn. They're not there because they care. This has nothing to do with Oliver. It's like if it was one of the family members' birthdays, you think those are all friends of the family? No, they're just people that show up to parties.
Where they roast fucking whole pigs. What a bunch of badasses.
While dressed like
a pig.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah, that was freaky. I kept wondering, I was like, I wonder if that's like a Duncan over there. Is he, is he roasting this pig?
That would be amazing.
But you never see. Although, you do see him at the party, right? He's got like a... Is he wearing an outfit?
Yeah, he is.
I can't remember what it was, though. God damn it.
He's got ruffles on.
It's bothering me now. Fuck. I was going to say, you do see his face at the party, though.
Yeah, because they're standing there, and then the mom says, get rid of the orchids. And so he hands the orchids off to someone, and they run off with them.
How did this not get fucking nominated for goddamn... I thought, you know, the Oscars did so good this fucking year.
Probably because Poor Things... They already picked one movie that had sex in it, and it was Poor Things.
Hey, man, I'm just happy that offensive movies are back and that are and they're getting like a little bit of notice. That's well done, America. Let's get it going.
Yeah, I do. I wish I saw this in theaters.
Same.
I didn't, though.
I would have liked to seen it with an audience.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, the uncomfortable laughs would have been absolutely hysterical.
Oh, and doesn't it? Does anyone have strong thoughts about the mythology in this? Minotaur and the Labyrinth?
Now, they said that the party was going to be Midsummer Night's Dream related. I've never read that.
It's a romance comedy where, what is it, like two couples fall in love, and then there's like some angels that, like little Cupid angels that like try to get them together.
Is that the one with the fairies or
yeah.
not? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they are. I forget what they are.
Felix's girlfriend was dressed like a fairy. Felix had
He's got
angel
the wings.
Angel
yeah.
wings. Yeah.
And then you know, of course, Ollie's running around like a stag. But I don't get the references because I'm not smart.
Either. I don't get the stag reference to the horns, man.
I assumed the horns were to the minotaur, the giant minotaur standing in the middle of the labyrinth because he's there to fuck shit up.
Oh, that yeah, that tracks.
He's not on theme because he's not one of them. He's in a whole different story.
Ooh, I like that. There you go, Kristen. I like that a lot. In a whole different story. They're in When Harry Met Sally. He's in Fatal Attraction.
I mean, he is. Yeah,
or the
right.
Talented Mr. Ripley, or whatever. Take your pick.
But he is, I mean, they are, what, deer antlers and not bullhorns. But the Minotaur is a giant statue in the center of the labyrinth, which is where the climax, well, is that the climax? I don't know. Where the scene where he confronts and kills Felix.
Here it says, in the olden days, especially in Shakespeare's era, it was common for wearing the horns to be a euphemism for being a cuckold.
Okay. Interesting. Fitting.
I guess it's fitting for the party scene. I don't know if it's... Yeah, that works for the party scene. It doesn't work for the rest of the movie, I don't think.
Definitely for the party scene. It's just...
Oh, I guess it does work for the rest of the movie. Yeah, okay. All right, all right. Yeah, that works. Where the fuck have you been all my life, Emerald?
She's been powering it up at her own Saltburn.
Apparently. God damn. About time she got off your fucking lazy ass.
She's
and started
been
making
acting,
movies.
And, you know, to learn the craft and then moving into filmmaking.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was pregnant, pregnant Midge in Barbie.
Oh, really?
Yep. Which I super loved because, yeah, she was in The Crown. But I love that she's in Barbie because Margot Robbie has produced all of her movies.
Oh, that's why she made an appearance then.
Just seeing Margot Robbie's produced by credit, it was just like, oh, look at you. Look at that.
She's in this movie?
What, Margot Robbie in the movie? No, she produced the movie.
Okay. Okay.
That's sad. I didn't know Margot Robbie was like such a giant... Has she always been producing things? I thought, I just assumed Barbie was her first one.
No, I think she started before Promising Young Woman. But Promising Young Woman was like one of their first ones. I forget the name of her company.
I just like assumed that she got producer on Barbie because she was also in it. And I actually think that's not correct now that I'm saying that out loud. Didn't she become producer first and then... get cast?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I've also heard like she became the producer so she could get herself the role. So, you know, whatever.
I'm
sure. I don't
think she cares that much.
I think I would put this in my top five of the year for 2023. Maybe even higher. Maybe in the top three.
What are your top three?
I think I would have to go with this, Anatomy of a Fall, and... Oh, just to pick one. That's where it gets hard. I don't know. It would be hard. But I think I would probably go with Oppenheimer. I did super love Oppenheimer.
Okay.
I know you didn't, Kristen.
It's okay. Some people like certain things that, you know, are not enjoyable. That's fine.
But yeah, Anatomy of Fall was really good. All the movies that were nominated for Best Picture were really good, you know? And like the score, that's what was so weird. Like this year, like the Scorsese movie was the bad film. Like, that was the movie where I was like, you know, what was the other one? Maestro. I could have lived without both of those.
I mean, that's probably what they can't snub Scorsese and DiCaprio and I forget the actress. You have to, right? You're going to snub Saltburn, not them.
I mean, I guess.
I don't support this, but if you're thinking like the Academy does.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah. It's like every time, you know, Spielberg makes a movie, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's going to be 50-50. We're going to give him a Best Director nod just because he's Steven Spielberg. I mean, I get it. Yeah, he's Martin Scorsese.
So how many times do you think they filmed the last scene of him dancing through the house?
No idea. I did not read anything about that.
I'm sure he learned that choreography, but... still, how many times do you think they had to do it?
I did listen to Barry Keoghan's, they did an interview, I forgot what the podcast I was listening to, Next Best Picture Show or something like that. And he was saying that they did have to do it a couple of times because they actually timed certain movements in his song, his movements to the song. But I mean, I don't know. I was going back and watching it, and it's like there's nothing that's like really timed to it. I guess you do see some moments where like the song's like, you know, we're gonna burn this goddamn house to the ground, and he does do some flowery movements there, and he's going around the house.
But I also I didn't notice it was especially timed to the music, but I did appreciate not the flowery movements, but when he poses like a Greek statue, like that was nice.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And the brief pause for blow. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
You know, that one kind of pissed me off because, like, you know, he stops and he's doing blow and it's like, bro, that's how you got that other dude kicked out of this house. Come on. For real?
No, mm-hmm, nothing mm-hmm. he says is reliable. Like, he's not like a real person. He's like, everything is a manipulation.
Are we at ratings? Anybody got anything else for Saltburn? Nope. All right. Let's do it. Let's rate this thing. Who's going first? who's giving Saltburn a 10 first? Come on, who's doing it? Who's going to do it first?
Oh, Brian, come on. Can't all be 10s. I'm sure Kristen won't land at a 10, but we'll see what happens. this movie is really fucking fucked up. It's beautiful. It's worth watching multiple times. I really love the camera in this movie. Like I was thinking about this earlier. Like, the shot after fucking, like, Felix drinks the damn wine at the end, and then, like Ollie comes and, like, snatches it out of his hand, and then we cut back to Felix in this, like, close-up, and he, like, leans his head back, and then he goes forward, and we do this, like, amazing match cut to Ollie into a mirror, like, thinking about, looking at himself, thinking about everything he's done. So many great visual storytelling things. Like, you need to tell the fucking story with the camera, and this movie does it amazingly. And beyond that, amazing fucking acting, man. I've never really seen, like, much of Barry Keoghan. Is that how you say it? Keoghan?
Man, I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. I don't know.
Keoghan. Sounds Irish, right?
He is Irish, yes.
But he was fucking excellent in the, what was that one with Colin Farrell where he...
Oh, Banshees of Inisherin?
Yeah, dude, so fucking
good. That was good.
Obviously, this shows that he has range. You know, he just really fucking, like, kills this fucking movie, man. Yeah, it's a 10, man. Like, we've talked it to death. It's fucking great. It's beautiful. It's, yeah, it's great.
He was also the Joker in The Batman. Not a great role.
Was he?
Yeah. Not Batman, but The Batman. You know.
The Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that out loud, but yeah. Kristen, you go next. You're going to go last.
Yeah, I'll go next. This is a great movie. You need to watch it multiple times just because the first time you're going to be a little distracted. And so you have to prepare yourself to watch it the second time, which is like the first time. And then the more you see it, the more you're just like, oh, yeah, all of these crazy, shocking things are totally normal. It's great. It looks beautiful. It's well acted, well written, well done. I have no complaints, except I guess it could be longer. I don't know. I could enjoy more of it, but I don't know where you're at. It's perfect. It's a 10.
Oh, perfect. A 10. I'm going to echo those statements. Yeah, it is. This is a pretty perfect fucking film. This is a masterpiece among masterpieces. I super enjoyed this movie. I liked that the trailer, everything sells you on homosexual fatal attraction. Oh, look at this. We're going to do this now, but it's going to be same-sex stuff. And, you know, that's the reason I did not go see it in the theater, because I was just like, that looks boring, you know? Like, what are you going to do? You know, like, I just feel like we're just going to see Fatal Attraction, but now instead of a man and a woman, it's going to be two dudes. Okay. Wow. That's mind-blowing. But holy shit, was I not expecting this. Not expecting it at all. Oh, my God. I just kept doubling down on everything. It was an enjoyable watch. I loved all the characters and their motivations and why they were doing things and what we're not seeing and what we are shown and what does that mean. And, oh, man, it's just so layered. It's good. It's good writing. It's good, very, very confident direction. God damn. Like, women are knocking it out of the park here. I'm telling you. Here lately, like, fucking, this is the most I've enjoyed, like, a female-directed movie since, like, fucking Candyman. You know, the Candyman remake, not the original. It just hits that really nice sweet spot, and I don't think I don't know if a male could have done this movie as well. Highest of 10s. You got some tomatoes that are rotten or fresh, Jared?
Emerald Fennell's candy-coated and incisive Saltburn is a debauched jolt to the senses that will be invigorating for most.
Wow.
That's what the critics' consensus is. Audience pretty good. Also saying Saltburn is really intense and the cast does a terrific job. But if you're easily grossed out or offended, this probably isn't the movie for you. Rotten Tomatoes brings Saltburn in with a 71% tomato meter and a 79% audience score. People be grossed out, yo.
But wait, the audience was higher than the critics, though. You said 71, 79?
Uh-huh.
Wait, what were the, like, when the critics complaining about?
When it first came out, like, it was getting, like, reviews, like, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, you know, and then it quickly, people started seeing it.
Oh, like going down. People with their own websites were like, let me submit my review.
Let me tell you what's really going on.
Yeah, I did listen. I've read some of the criticisms for the people that were negative on the movie, but I just feel like those motherfuckers didn't watch the movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
People bring in their own fucking baggage in.
You don't get to feed us nonsense and then expect us to thank you when you try to explain it.
Yeah, I feel like that person did not understand the movie.
They definitely did not understand the movie.
It's actually so interesting because I've heard so many different takes on this, and even the ones that I don't agree with, like, they still make perfectly valid points, and I can see why they came from that, because this movie is so ambiguous and it does leave so much open to interpretation, which I think is really cool. You can bring your baggage, well, not that person, but most people can bring their baggage to it and apply it, and it still works as a movie, and I think that's really cool also.
I don't know if Americans like their, like, I don't know, there's stories where they have to actually fucking think. That sounds like a dick. That makes me sound like an elitist dick, but you know what I mean, like actually having to, like, engage and think about what you're not being shown. Because I do think, like, if you watch a lot of blockbuster films, like, the plot is just spelled out. Like, there'll be, like, two or three scenes where we'll get characters just dumping exposition and saying, well, this is what's happening. This is the movie audience. This is what we're doing. And, like, I do think movies like this and Poor Things and even Anatomy of a Fall, that came out last year, I do think those movies frustrate people.
I kind of agree with that in the sense that I love ambiguous movies. I love when things are not perfectly clear. And I have never understood why movies perfectly spell things out. And I guess I still don't. But it was like my first or second TV show that I ever worked on. And I was like, with the editor, and I was like, can we just, like, not do, like, why do we have to have this in here? Why can't we just, like, tell the story like this? And he goes, this is for television. He's like, we have to, if they don't see it, it doesn't exist. He's like, so we have to spell every single thing out. I still don't totally get that, but that is a rule if you're making it for, like, a generic group of Americans, that yes, you need it to be completely spelled out.
Maybe so you, because you, like, a lot of people just passively watch TV. It's just like something that's on, so you can somewhat follow it just because.
Yeah, man, I can't tell you. I think every fucking theater going experience I've had for the last 3 years, I've had an asshole with a cell phone. They're just on their fucking cell phone during the movie. Like,
it's an addiction, okay?
Be it me. I mean, like, you know, like, fucking 2 hours, motherfuckers, you know? Like, just 2 hour break. Fuck, it has made me hate Facebook. Because you know what? They're always on Facebook or TikTok. That's what they're on.
They're on TikTok in the movie theater?
Yeah. Motherfuckers will watch. I've seen kids play fucking games. I have no idea what they're playing, but they'll be playing phone games while watching a movie in the movie theater.
That's just bad parenting right there.
No, that's actually super. I mean, maybe it is, but that's very, very, very common among smaller children. The parents now, it's like an accepted thing. Like, if you're, like, they actually give their kids a game, like their phone with a game, so that they can focus on and listen. It has something, I don't understand it, but it's a thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a really expensive replacement for a fidget spinner, but, you know, whatever. So with that, I guess you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
The audience can follow me on Instagram @checkthegate.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram @KristenMagdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can find me on Twitter @ElkinsEdits. And we are definitely 100% closing out the show tonight with an excerpt from Sophie Ellis Baxter's Murder on the Dance Floor. And I want you to think about penises when you hear this song. Floppy penises.
Helicopter.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Enjoy.
It's murder on the dance floor, but you better not kill the groove. It's murder on the dance floor, but you better not steal the moves. DJ, gonna burn this goddamn house right down. It's murder on the dance floor, but you better not kill.